Today is a very special day for our shir. We have here, we're celebrating a very special birthday to our very own Rav Meir Appeldorf. Today is his birthday. And we wish him a very, very happy birthday. And you should be zoicha to arichas yomim v'shanim v'toch simcha archol ha-sadas b'riyas ha-guf v'chol mili v'meitah. What?
And those are big yard side today. The yard side of the woman who...
Sarah Shnera. Yard side is today. Sarah Shnera's yard side is today. Okay, what? Yoyim Huledesh Shel Rabbi Meir. Today is the Yoyim Huledesh Shel Rabbi Meir, and all of us are going to be elevated. No one's going to be punished today. Okay, let's go further. Let's learn. Today, this week is a very, very, a lot of things going on in the Shabbos. First of all, we have a double header. Whenever you have a double header, that itself is a very significant Shabbos. To read a double portion of the Torah, it's Pishnayim. That itself is significant. Number two, on top of that, it's also Shabbos Chazak. Chazak v'nis chazek. That itself is special. Number three, it's Shabbos HaChodesh. It's Shabbos HaChodesh. We have a special Haftarah, two Sifrei Torah, HaChodesh Elohim, or the special Maftir, and that also makes it a triple special Shabbos. So we have a lot of things to cover in the parasha. Let's start with the parasha. We'll talk a little bit about Parasha HaChodesh at the end. Let's just start with some very simple ideas. Parashas Vayakel begins, Vayakel Moshe's Kol Hagadol B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Alehem Eile HaDvarim Asher Tzivu Hashem La'asos. First Rashi in this parasha tells us, Moshe Avinu Rabbeinu was gathering Klal Yisrael for the purpose of building the Mishkan. Building the Mishkan. And Rashi tells us, when did this event? He tells us two things. Number one, L'mocharos Yom HaKippurim, K'sheyorad Min Ha'har. First thing Rashi tells us, that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over instructions to Klal Yisrael, as exactly how to build the Mishkan, he told them these instructions, what we call Mitzoy Yom HaKippur, the day after Yom HaKippur. By the way, that day by Hasidim is known as Gotz Nomen. Did you ever hear this before? The day after Yom Kippur has a special title, Gotz Nomen, Hashem's name. Why is it called Gotz Nomen? Why? Because the similar reason is the day when we go back to saying Hakel HaKadosh. During the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. But when it's Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, we go back to saying HaKel HaKadosh. So it's called Gotz, mean Hashem, God's name. That's the name of the day, Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim. It's interesting that the building, the instructions to build the Mishkan is taking place B'davka on this day. Maybe there's some significance in why it's also called Gotz Nom, because the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is the Mokim HaShrohas HaShchina. And it is through the Mishkan where Hashem's name is elevated, is disseminated to the entire world. So it's not a coincidence that we call it Gotz Nomen Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, especially when historically it was on this day when Moshe Rabbeinu began to give instructions to Klal Yisrael to build the Mishkan. Rashi said, now why? And the next thing Rashi says, he gives us a grammar lesson, and he tells us Vayakel doesn't say in the Pasuk Vayikal. Vayikal would mean that Moshe himself collected the people, he gathered the people, he went from bias to bias. You come with me. You don't want to come with me? I'll call security. Security will make sure you come with me. V'chulu v'chulu does not say that in the pasuk Vayikal, it says Vayakel. And Rashi teaches us some grammar. She'enoi hu loshen hifil, she'enoi oisef anoshen biyodai. Moshe did not actually go from bias to bias to get the people to pick them up person by person. Elo hei ne'esofin al pi diburo, they came by themselves. Magically, they just assembled all on their own. So I believe over here there are two very powerful lessons being taught to us in the very first pasuk in this week's parasha. And that is, here Klal Yisrael are about to embark on the most important, the most significant project in the history of Klal Yisrael, to build the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the template for the Beis HaMikdash. It is the makom of the Hashras, Hashchina for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's name is Hashem, Shchina is coming down to the world, the purpose of creation. It's a very holy task. When you begin, embark on a holy task, the first thing is you have to be in a matzav, in a state of Kedusha. If it's just in the middle of the winter, right after the Super Bowl, okay, Super Sunday, and after Super Sunday, the next day, we come together and we decide we're now going to embark on a project that will bring to this world Kedusha. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Whenever you embark on a Davar Shel Kedusha, it has to be an auspicious time. And the time to embark on holy matters requires Hachana, requires Kedusha. There is no greater day in the year there's no greater holier day in the year, the Yom HaKadosh, than Yom HaKippurim. It's not a coincidence that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, Yom HaKippurim, Vayei Hashem Solachti Chivorecha, now all of a sudden we're going to start to build the Beis HaMikdash. It is necessary for Klal Yisrael to be on a level of Kedusha Utahara before they can embark on this magnificent mission of building for Hashem a bayis in this world. And the Musar Haskell is that anytime that we plan, there's a lot of talk when you start a Masechta, when a yeshiva, today we don't hear about this, but you read some of the stories of the old yeshivas in Europe, when they started to learn a new Masechta, they took it very seriously. And they would even fast. The day that they learned the first day of the Zman, can you imagine, in Lakewood, the first 2 days of the Zman is Mamish Biddle Torah. They have videos, they're even so proud of it, they show online, a chavrusa tumult. Everyone just standing in the basement, just sitting and doing nothing, just schmoozing with the dog, looking for what takes so long to find a chavrusa? Before you come to yeshiva, you have your chavrusa, sit down and learn. The first day of the Zman, you fast. You sit and learn the whole day. There is no lunch. There's no lunch, there's no supper, there's no breakfast. It's a yoim tzoim. It's a day because you're starting a new project, a davar shel kedusha. Everything depends on the beginning, simani milsa, Rosh Hashanah. The haschola of something is a davar shebe kedusha. You need the siyata shmaya. It has to be built upon the foundation of kedusha. The binyan of the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, the Makom Hashuas Hashchina, was built on the foundation of Motzoi Yom HaKippurim. There's no day in the year when a person has the proper perspective on life than Motzoi Yom HaKippurim. When you're sitting the whole day in shul thinking about what is life all about, what are we here for, and you go through a process of kedusha v'tahara and kapara, now you can embark on a davar shebe kedusha. And it's a Musar Haskell for us that whenever we embark on Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, it has to not just be done out of the blue. When we finish halftime to Sunday, that's when we'll make some phone calls to start doing a new project to build a mikvah. It's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. You have to elevate yourself to have the Siyata Shemai to be successful in what you're trying to accomplish here in this world. The next thing is interesting, and just a ha'ara, is Moshe did not have to go and pick the people off the street to do the job. You know, Gilsa, you give a shir. Okay, you give a shir and come to the shir. Lama basi ve'enish. You walk in to give the shir and there's no one there. You got to call this one, can you come to the shir? Call this one, come to the shir. If you have to go collect the people to come for your project, you know you got a problem. The binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe did not have to go pick the people off the street. Vayakel, Loshen Hifil. They're on their own. There was excitement. When there's excitement about doing something, you can be guaranteed you're going to have siyata d'shmaya. If there's no excitement and everyone's arm has to be twisted, maybe you should step back and realize maybe it's not an auspicious time to engage in this project. You have to detect where are you holding when you embark on a project. You know, it's a lot of time, effort, resources, energy, emotion. Is it really all worth it? Will you succeed? Well, the litmus test is it vayikhal or is it vayakhel? Every project that begins with a vayikhal, you know you're in trouble. If the project begins with a vayakhel, hey nesofim me'alehen, that is a sign in Hashemayim, you're going to have siyata d'shmayim, be successful against all odds. Okay, let's go to another idea. You want to say something? Yes. Mr. Axelrod.
The negate of what you mentioned about the Kedusha, I just heard from Rabbi Reisman about the Shabbos, about he met the Square Rebbe and he wanted to know what's the Indian that going to the mikveh, either before Ksivas Oisya, somebody who have a minute, or whoever didn't go mikveh shouldn't touch the Aron, by Levi Loyalini. So the Rebbe said he didn't really know the reason, but if you're doing something that has an element of Kedusha,
you have to be mechen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea. Okay, let's go to the next idea. The next is a very popular idea. I'm telling you, it's not my own. I've seen this in different forms. The Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan is repeated twice. Obviously, in Parashas Truma Tetzaveh is the first time, and now again in Parashas Vayakel Pikudei. It's not really a repetition. There are so many differences, too many to count, too many details to count in the way it's presented in Vayakel Pikudei and Tetzaveh. It's repeated twice. But one of the major differences is Shabbos Kodesh. In Truma Tetzaveh, we are taught about the blueprint of the Mishkan, and immediately after we conclude the blueprint, we come to Parashas Kisisa, which begins with Shabbos. Not begins with Shabbos, but I mean, really, Parashas Kisisa continues. It tells about the it's part of the Mishkan, the Kiyar, and the Machzah Shekel, and the Besamim, the Shemna Mishkan, the Ketores, and then, and Mitzalel. So really, Parashas Kisisa, the first Aliyah, Parashas Kisisa, is a direct continuation of what is necessary for the binyan of the Mishkan, and the very, very last thing before the Egel is Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Klal Yisrael about the mitzvah of Shabbos. Then we have the Egel, and now we start all over again. After the Egel, we start all over again. Vayakel Moshe, he's about to teach them, give them the instructions for the Mishkan, but the first thing he tells them is Shabbos. So the question is, why is it that in Parshas, Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa is Shabbos after the Binyan HaMishkan, whereas in Parashas Vayakel Pikudei, Shabbos is before the Binyan HaMishkan? Yes? I don't know what he says. So let me say what he says. You'll tell me if I say Mechavis what he says. Let me say it first, and you'll tell me if I said it. So one idea is we have a tradition, Ilmole Shamu Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Nig Olin. We have a tradition if Klal Yisrael would only observe two Shabbosos, immediately they would be redeemed. And the obvious question is, why two? Why not one? Why not three? Why not ten? What's two? One answer is because there are two major ideas in Shabbos. Shabbos Mitzad Echad is the end of the week. But Mitzad Sheni, Shabbos is the beginning of the week. When we begin Shabbos, the week ends with Tuesday. So you can recite Havdalah through Tuesday. And the Hachonos for Shabbos begin on Wednesday. L'chu nirana, we say l'chu nirana and the hayoim on Wednesday. And that is halachic nafkamim. If a person is planning to travel overseas, are you required to take into consideration the fact that you may have to mechal Shabbos? So the answer is, if it's Tuesday, no. If it's Wednesday, yes. The laws of Shabbos begin. So we see that Shabbos extends to the next week by 3 days. You can continue to recite Havdalah for 3 days, and Shabbos begins 3 days in advance. Shabbos, there's a hachonah for Shabbos, and then there's the lingering effect of Shabbos. If Klal Yisrael only observe two Shabbosos, meaning you observe both elements, both dimensions of Shabbos, you yearn for Shabbos, you look at Shabbos at the end of the week, and you gear up, hayoyim yoyim rishoyim b'Shabbos, you prepare for the coming Shabbos, and you also observe the second dimension of Shabbos, the lingering effect of Shabbos, miyad nigolin. Now the malacha here that's described, it says in the pasuk, sheish es yom te'osim malacha. What is the malacha? What malacha did they do in Midbar? They didn't work, they were in Kailam. The malacha was the binyan ha-mishkan. The binyan ha-mishkan is really for us a marshal of what we do in life. Everything that we do in life, we're trying to build something. We're trying to build a bias, trying to build some form of kedusha in this world. And Moshe Rabbeinu, by putting the parash of Shabbos both before and both after, is telling us Shabbos in your avod, every person's life is a binyan hamishkan. The mishkan is the makom hashroas hashchina on this world. Every person in their avoda is bringing the shchina down into this world. And Shabbos represents the concept of emuna. Shabbos means Hashem created this world. He is the creator. He is the manik. There has to be, before, when a person engages in his activities in this world of bringing the Shechina to this world, there has to be emuna before and emuna after. In other words, people always ask the question, how do you have emuna? How does a person gain emuna? Person's challenged. Rachmana litzlan, people are challenged. Life is very difficult. The answer is, you have to have emuna to have emuna. Emuna for emuna. That's the Shabbos that comes before the Binyan HaMikdash, which is in Parshas Vayakel. Then there's an added benefit that after you engage in your service of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making for Him in this world the Mokum HaShuas HaShchina through Torah and Nitzos, through your Avodah, you gain a deeper appreciation of Emunah, which is, represents the Shabbos that comes at the end. Before the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael did not need to have Emunah to have Emunah. Klal Yisrael already had Emunah. They came out of Mitzrayim, they saw the Nisim and the Flos, and it's Yis Mitzrayim, Akas Mechavis, Kriyas Yamsuf. They had Emunah. The Mela Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're now going to build, the way it's written, even though, let's assume the way it's written is, engage in Avodas Hashem, serve Hashem, be Mekayim the Torah and the Mitzvos, and through your Kim of the Torah and Mitzvos, you will mature. Your appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your level of Emunah will deepen. You'll come to a Shabbos that comes at the end. After the Chet HaEgel, Parashas Kisisa, we now are exposed to the Egel. We have dropped a very great degree in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We now have to start all again. So here, Shabbos comes first. Shabbos that comes before the Binyan HaMikdash, before we engage in our Avodah to serve Hashem, is basically, you have to have Emunah to have Emunah. You have to have Emunah, observe Shabbos, that will give you a boost. You will then engage in building the Mishkan, your Avodah Hashem, and that will deepen your understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until you come to the second Shabbos that we learned back in Parashas Kisisa. So there's a Shabbos before, a Shabbos after, and that's Ilmole Yisrael Mekaymin Shoymim Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Negolim. The two Shabbosos is the Shabbos that comes Parashas Kisisa at the end of the Mishkan, and the Shabbos that comes before the Binyan HaMishkan Parashas Vayakel. What does Rav Soloveitchik say?
It pretty much says what you said, but one thing which I found very powerful. You said the Jews in our history can live without the Mishkan.
They can't live without the Shabbos.
We don't have Shabbos, that's been our faith forever.
So Shabbos sandwiches the Mishkan. No matter what, Shabbos is always there to have our back. More than the Jew keeps the Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jew. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to focus on Bezalel. I find this very interesting that Bezalel is presented very different in this week's parasha than as he's presented in Parashas Kisisa. In Parashas Kisisa, right before Shabbos, we are introduced to Bezalel for the very first time. Hashem says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar Re'ei." I want you to see Korosi V'Shem. I have specified by name a person, an individual, and his name is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur Lamate Yehuda. He was the grandson of the great grandson of Miriam. Hur was the son of Miriam, so he was really related to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's sister was Miriam, so this was his nephew twice removed, something like that. So he was. This is Bezalel. Vo'amalei oisay ruach elokim. Hashem says, I'm reading from Parashas Kisisa. Hashem says, I'm going to fill him up with ruach elokim bechokhma. Now here's what I want you to take note of. Uvisvuna. Baal Kri has to be very, very careful. In Parashas Kisisa, there is a vav. I'm going to give him chokhma. And I'm going to give him tivuna, uvisvuna, and also the third vav, uvidas, uvichol milocha, four things. Then it goes on to say lachshav machashavos. Notice here there is no vav. There's no vav for lachshav machashavos. Lasois bazahav uvakesef vanochishes. And then it goes on to say uvacharoishes eden lemalois uvacharoishes eiskeid, craftsmanship in stone. Craftsmanship in wood, la'asayis b'chol melacha, and that's it. That is the end of Bezalel. Then we go on to Aholiyav, another person who's going to be his partner. So Bitzal gets honorable mention. Hashem specifies him by name. Hashem is going to give him 3-4 attributes: Chochma, Tfuna, Das, Uvichol Malacha, and he's going to know how to think. Lachashav Machashavos, which Rashi means he's going to know how to weave. When you weave, when you do embroidery, you have to make calculations to make sure the picture comes out on both sides of the material that you're working with. Parshas Vayakel, we are introduced. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is reporting. He's reporting to Klal Yisrael that Hashem has selected a Bezalel. Vayoymer Moshe b'nei Yisrael. I want to let everyone know that the master craftsman, the one who is in charge of the project, his name is Bezalel. And it's not me. Don't accuse me of nepotism. I'm not the one who has selected Bezalel. None other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu has specified that he shall be the one in charge. Re'u koro Hashem b'shem. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chulmata Yehuda. Hashem has filled him up with Ruach Elokim, Ruach HaKodesh. Now look at the differences. Bechochma, Bisvuna. There is no Vav. That's difference number one. Number two, Uvidas, that's the same. Uvichol Malacha, that's the same. Then when it comes to Machashavos, Velachshoiv Machashavos, Vlasois, there's a Vav.
It doesn't say Das by
Aliyah
also.
It does, it says by Aliyah. I'm not going to Aliyah. Okay? I don't know Aliyah. I'm not going to Aliyah. Let's just focus on Bitzal for now. Okay? And it says Velachshoiv Machashavos, there's a Vav. There is a vav when it comes to lachshav machashavos ba zahav va kes va nechayshes. Let's go further. The next pasuk is pretty much the same. Vachareishes evel amalosim vachareish eis lasas b'chol malach zechayish. And now we have a whole new section. This pasuk, these next two psukim, do not appear at all in parashas kisisa ule hoyrois. Hashem also has given Bezalel the koyach of hoyrah. That's a very fancy word. What is Hayra? Hayra means to render legal decisions. That's how we translate it today. Ula Hayra over here, Rav Targum says Ula Alpha means to learn. Ula Alpha, Ula Alpha, to learn, to teach. I'm not even sure what it means. Nosan Bilibo, who, and we mentioned with him Aholiyah ben Achisel Matedon, and now we have repetition. A whole new pasuk, which seemingly is completely superfluous. Mileoy sam chokma slave la sois komoleches chorosh vichoyshe viroikei batchelus v'agwan v'lashoni v'sheish v'erig oise kol melech v'choyshe machashavos. We know this already. We know this. This already was told by Bezalel. If this pasuk was not here, we wouldn't know the difference. Why is this all here repeated? So I want to say a little drush, something very, very simple. Go back to Parash Kisisa. Parash Kisisa, Rashi tells exactly the deeper meaning of Chochma and Tevuna. Rashi says, what is Chochma? Chochma is Masha Odom Shoimea Meacherim Velomat. A good student. You're a good student taking a class, you can be tested, you get to take a course, you take a test, you've heard exactly what the teacher has taught you. What's Tevuna? Tevuna means you finish your course and you go write a PhD. You have your own chidushim, naya chidushim. Tevuna, mevin davar miliboy mitoch dvarim shalomat. My teacher taught me this, I have another teacher taught me that, now I'm able to bring together all of this knowledge, this body of knowledge, and I have chidushim. Chidush, whose chidushim? His chidushim or my chidushim? My chidushim! Right? Mevin davar mitoch davar, I'm now able to write a thesis on a new idea. No one ever was mechadish these ideas, and it's my credit. Okay. Bezalel, we know, questioned Rashi Pash Bekude. Rashi Pash Bekude makes this point. Moshe told Bezalel, I want you first to make the Kalim, and then I want you to make the Binyan to make the Mishkan. Bezalel says to Moshe, you know, that's not the way we do things, and that's not the Minaka Oilam. Hashem gave us a Mishkan to follow the rules of this world. And the rules of this world is you first build the building and then you bring in the furniture. You never saw the moving trucks coming with all of the furniture before the building. Right? You park you go to the furniture store, you buy the furniture, and you haven't built the building. It doesn't make any sense. So Moshe said, no, you're right. You're right. I made a mistake. You're right. That's really what Hashem told me. And I just got a little carried away. I told you the Kalim first and the Binyan, but you're right. Hashem really instructed me to make the Binyan first and then to make the Kalim. And Moshe said, you know something? You're a genius. You understood what Hashem told me better than what I myself understood. When I relayed the information to you, I didn't really fully grasp what Hashem told me. But you're so clever, you're so smart, that you made me reanalyze what Hashem told me. And now I came to the realization that you are right. Hashem really told me to first make the binyan and then to make the furniture. It must be that you have sat or stood in the shadow of God. Betzalel kel. So it comes out, what did Betzalel really do? Betzalel was a good listener. He was a chocham. The chocham from the Manishtana. He was a good listener. And then what did he do? He then was maven davar mitoch davar, not to be mechadesh naya chidushim, a new sefer. I'm such a good listener, I can now be maven davar mitoch davar to understand what you, my Rebbe, really mean to teach me. What you really meant. Normally we teach this chokhmah, and then there's a tevunah. Chokhmah, I listen. Tevunah, I am now mechadesh. No, but Salel took his tevuna, being mevin davar mitoch davar, applied it backwards to Moshe Rabbeinu, and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you taught me A, B, C, D, so Moshe, I'm mevin davar mitoch davar from your own words, this is really what you mean to tell me. Oh, so now we understand why in Parshas Vayakel there is no Vav. In Parshas Kisisa, Hashem gave Betzalel Chochma uTevuna. Hashem gave him these tools. Hashem, I'm giving you the Koyach of Chochma, I'm giving you the Koyach of Tevuna. Betzalel improved. He took the tools that Hashem gave him, and out of humility, didn't take the Tevuna for himself, but rather he took the Tevuna, the tool of Tevuna, to go backwards and to use it as a tool to better understand the Chochma of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mela, there's no Vav. The Vav is because the Tevuna is a chelik of the Chochma. This is the Mela, this is the attribute, this is the praise that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Betzalel. Hashem only wanted to give him Chochma uTevuna, but yet Betzalel, in his humility, took the tool of Tevuna and used it for the Chochma in order to enhance the Chochma. So Mela, the Vav has been deleted. Not necessarily. I hear your question, but he was challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe for some reason the Mishkan should be the opposite of the rest of it. This Kedusha in the Mishkan, that the Mishkan should be built in the opposite than the Minhag HaOlam. Obviously he detected from Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm suggesting, that he detected from Moshe Rabbeinu's own words that the Mishkan also should be done Alpi Minhag HaOlam. And that will then force him to reanalyze, to reassess what exactly he meant. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I'm saying this is a drush. Now, the next thing I want to point out is the reason why there is a vav is because when Hashem gave tzvuna, v'lachshov machashavos ba'zahav uva'kesev uva'nechoshes. Anytime a person gets involved with money, you become a different person. It's one thing when you're sitting, you're learning, it's all theoretical, you learn the ketzayis, the nesivis, it says naseres hadibros lo tigzol. Right, lo tigzol. That's what it's kidnapping. But it says in the Torah, don't steal. Oh, you're sitting in yeshiva. Oh, it's theoretically, it's a very good idea. It's a very, very noble principle not to steal someone else's money. But when you go out into the world and you're holding in your hand money, you're holding cash, you're holding in your hand dollar bills, all of a sudden when it says lo tigzol, you don't necessarily connect the theory. The chokhmah of understanding, unfortunately, in the Derech HaOlam is a few notches removed from the theoretical concept of being honest. So Hashem recognizes that. And Hashem says when it comes to dealing u'bazov, ba'kesef, u'v'anachoshes, there's a vav. V'lachshoiv machashavos ba'zohov v'kesef v'nachosh. First Hashem says, I'm going to give him chochma. B'chochma b'svuno u'v'das v'chol melacha. I'm going to give you chochma. When you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, it's all theoretical, gewaldic. But when you go out into the world, and you have to go and apply your chochma to the world when you're dealing with kesef zov v'nachoshes, oh, there's a disconnect. Lachshoiv machashava is to take the chokhmah and to apply the chokhmah, the thoughts of chokhmah, when you're dealing with the actual material, the kesef, I can't expect a human being to be like a malach elokim tzivakos, where he should deal with zov kesef unechayshas the same way he relates to zov kesef unechayshas when he's sitting in kollel. I can't expect that. There has to be a vav. V'lachshev ma'chashav espar zov kesef unechayshas. Moshe Rabbeinu praised Bezalel. Although Hashem did not have such high expectations of Bezalel, Bezalel worked on himself to a degree where there's no difference between the theory, koilel, zov, and reality of dealing with money. His honesty is impeccable. It is perfect. When he's dealing with the touching in his hands, the zovkes and the cheshes, the to see money, suddenly when they see money, they get drunk. Just looking at money makes them dulls their mind. There is no difference. The chokhma that I've given him, the chokhma besudah v'das, lachshoiv machashavos ba'zohar v'kesev v'necheshes. He has reached a new madrega. Now, mimela, when a person reaches such a madrega where he's honest in business and he's able to take tevuna and use tevuna not for himself, but to use tevuna to go back to the Rebbe, to go back to the source, to analyze the chokhma, yizoicha to a new madrega called hoira. Okay, the Chazal say 1,000 Talmidim can go into the Beis Medrash. How many of them are roi for hoira? One in 1,000. Ule hoirois nosan bilibo. Hu v'aliyav. Bezalel has reached a madrega where he on his own can now paskin halacha la suke shmeitza aliba de hilchsa. It has to be, you know, you learn the kale of the Mishkan, you look at the Befarshim, for each kli, each utensil, there are so many opinions. Every detail of the Kelim of the Mishkan, there are so many opinions exactly what it looks like. There's no question that Bezalel had to be machria. He had to make decisions. He had to make halachic decisions. How should you make the aron? Should the aron have 8 rings? Should the aron have 4 rings? Should the aron have legs? Should the aron not have legs? Should the menorah be a V menorah? Should the menorah be a round menorah? He needs to make decisions. And these decisions are given to a person, that's part of halacha, it's given to a person to paskin. Bezalel was given through his excellence, through his success in removing the vavs, removing the vav between chokhma and tevuna, and removing the vav between the chokhma and lachshav machashavos and zav kesem lachoshes, to reach a madrega ule hoirois nosan belibo. Now, once you become a pasek, everything is different. The pasek has to repeat. The pasek has to go all over again and start all over again. Ule hoirois nosan belibo now all over again we review the chokhma of all the different melachos of the Mishkan, because when you are a pesek and you are on that madrega of hoira, it's a new world. You have to relearn everything with a new perspective now that you have in your pens the power to issue halachic decisions. It's like you get a document. Someone sends you a document and you try to edit the document. Read only. Read only. You cannot allow to edit the document. But when you have hoira, that means you have super access, administrator access, where you can edit the document. When you are lehoirois nosan belibo, you have those tools. Now you got to take the course all over again. You're a dangerous person. You're a dangerous person. You have to go take all of the grammar course, all of the English course, all of the lessons, all over again, because now that you have that ability, we have to retrain you. And that's why the pasuk in the beginning of Vayakel, when it tells us about Bezalel, after he's given all of these tools, we ulahoyos nosan belibo, huvi aliyof, we repeat the chokhma all over again. Milei oisam chokhma slave.
But only in this specific, only in the Mishkan business, not everything else.
The Mishkan is the Briya Sa'olam, it's everything. In the building of the Mishkan is the chokhma of the entire world. But the beginning of the Mishkan is everything. It's the blueprint for the world. That's what Chazal said.
Does this say that he can fasten on Shabbos? Or neither?
I don't know, but it's pretty significant. He's able to pass on how to make the kalim, on the details of the kelim, it's a very significant thing. And therefore the pasuk has to repeat, we're going to retrain him. Yeah.
He says here a few times, it says only
Yoim
this.
Because this one was necessary for the being of the Mishkan. We're not talking about Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. We're dealing here, that's the topic of discussion over here. And Enoch, once he's given Hoira in this matter, it's a new Madrega where he has to take refresher courses. New Chachma on this Madrega. This is the uniqueness of Parashas Vayakal, the topic of Hoira. Okay, that ends this var. I just want to tell you a very short story I saw. It made an impression upon me. Rav Meir Shapiro, this has nothing to do with what I just said, just an idea. Rav Meir Shapiro was once asked by a guy who came for inspect his yeshiva. One of the people of the secular government, they wanted to, just to make sure everything is okay. They came to inspect the yeshiva and they saw all of these students sitting alone. There must have been hundreds of students learning in when the yeshiva Chachmei Lublin was in its prime. It was a very, very big yeshiva. And the guy asked, and the inspector asked, what are they all studying to be? Rabbis. Why do you need 500 rabbis? There are only 5 positions in the whole country to be a rabbi. You need 500 rabbis? So Rav Meir Shapiro said, without blinking an eyelash, he said, you're right. Only 5 of them will become rabbis, but we need, everyone else has to be eligible to be a rabbi so they'll know who to select as a rabbi in their community.
What?
So they'll know who to select. You come to a shul, and the shul has a promise, and they have a membership meeting, and they're going to select a rabbi. Who are they going to take? An entertainer? Who doesn't know anything? Or they're going to take a person, so Yorei Shemaim, that's going to be Madrich them, Derech HaYosha, Derech Yisrael Saba. The reason why you have to have a yeshiva that's training 1,000 people all to be rabbis is not because they're all going to be rabbis, because they're going to be the balabatim of all of the shuls in the world, and they have to have an appreciation of who is roy, who is fitting to be a rabbi. Ule hoirois nosan bilibo. Okay, all based on these very powerful words, to render decisions, every person needs to be b'derech hoira, not just to pass in the halacha, but at least to know who is roy to pass in the halacha. Yes.
Did much rabbi then delegate, so to speak, as we'd say in business management, all responsibilities with the Mishkan to Bezalel?
There was a hierarchy, obviously. These two people were at the helm, Bezalel and Aholiyah. Then it goes on to say everyone else also participated. They brought things, they did things. They were not the only ones who did things.
If I'm the CEO of a company, I delegated to my department, yeah. In charge of this department, keep me informed. That's it. I don't want to be involved day to day.
I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't know the answer. I don't know. We assume it was a hierarchy they brought to Moshe. Dover HaKosha Yevinei Lav, but Dover HaKatan, they decided on their own. Obviously, there was some type of hierarchy, but these two people played a very important part in the being of the mission. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's jump ahead. I want to talk about the tzitz. We have over here Rashi elaborates a lot in Parashas Pekudei on the tzitz. Long Rashi, what exactly did the tzitz look like? The tzitz was the Nezer HaKodesh, the holy crown, says upon Kodesh LaHashem, and you shall tie it al hamitznefes. And Rashi elaborates, what does it mean that it goes al hamitznefes? That's not true. The tzitz is on the forehead, it goes from ear to ear. So what does it mean over here? So Rashi goes and explains that there were 6 chutin of techeles that came out of the tzitz, which were tied on top of the mitznefes. The tzitz was on the forehead, and the chutin of techeles were used in a very elaborate way to tie the tzitz upon the hat of the kohen gadol, which is called the mitznefes. So I just want to make the following observation. We know that Chazal very often tell or compare the tzitz to the tefillah shel roish. Kohen Gadol also wore the tefillah. We know that the Chazal said that in between the tzitz and the mitznevis, there was a small space where the Kohen Gadol was able to put on his tefillah. The Chazal often tell us that the tzitz, and we wear tefillin, to some degree we every day are putting upon our heads something that's very similar in concept to the tzitz. Because the Shem Hashem on the tzitz, the Chazal in fact say that the tefillah is even more chumrah than the tzitz. The tzitz only has the Shem Hashem once, whereas the tefillin have the Shem Hashem 21 or 22 times in each tefillin. Okay, what else is there on the tzitz? The psil techeles. Where do the psil techeles appear? On the tzitzis. Is it not a significant thing? Is it not a coincidence that the tzitz, which Chazal explicitly compared to the tefillin, also carry with it, as Rashi elaborates, a significant degree of tzitzis. Because what is the most significant part of the tzitzis? The tcheles, uri isem oiso zechartim, is called mitzvah Hashem v'asis mosam tcheles dem liyam dam yam da yam dem lirukia lirukia dem lirukis yakovot. You should remember Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So I want to suggest is that in essence, the tzitz is the synthesis of tefillin and tzitzis. Now, what do I mean? When we wear tefillin, for whom are we wearing tefillin for? Well, the shel tefillah shel yad is v'hayol l'chol osal yotcha. Okay, the tefillah shel yad is really for us. When we wear the tefillin shel rosh, it's not really for us. It's fair as a pasuk. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yodu mimeka. Okay, the tefillin shel rosh also zikaron is a toitofos, but Chazal also, the pasuk also tells us that the tefillin shel rosh is not for us to see. In fact, you can't even see it. You can't, unless you look in the mirror, you can't even see it. It's for the umos ha'olam to see, ki shem Hashem nikra olecha. Question. Why can't we look at the tefillin? Why can the tefillin be made in a way where we look at the tefillin and we have an appreciation, ki shem Hashem nikra olecha? I think obviously the answer is because if the average person sees that the shem Hashem is nikra upon himself, it can lead to complacency, it can lead to gaiva, it can lead to, I'm a superhero, and I can do whatever I want. Not every person is on the madrega where he can say, it's I who has brought the Shekhinah upon the world, and everyone should be afraid of me. We wear it, they should see it, but you don't see it. What's the purpose of tzitzis? The purpose of seeing the tcheles, the pasuk is explicit, uri isem also uzichartem. When you look at the tcheles, you see, and you are reminded. What are you reminded of? Not that you're great, not that the shem Hashem is nikol lecha. You see, you remember the mitzvahs, va'asisem oisam. But the tool to remember and see is the tcheles. Haloi davar, is it not a significant thing that the tzitz, which in essence is tefillin, is tied upon the head, not with a shoe strap, but is tied upon the head with techeles, as if to say that there is one individual in Klal Yisrael upon whom everyone should look, including the Kohen Gadol himself, through the techeles, uri isem oso uzechartem, what? Kodesh laHashem. That you, Klal Yisrael, are holy to Hashem. The purpose of the tzitz is not v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha. That's tefillin, because tefillin is tied with a shoe strap, which is not something which it's tied with tcheles. Tcheles is the tool which causes us to see. Uri isem oso uzichartem. What are you to remember? You are to remember Kodesh LaHashem, that you, Klal Yisrael, you are holy to Hashem. When you have a Beis HaMikdash and you have a Kohen Gadol, Klal Yisrael has the gift of being able to look and appreciate and absorb the fact that we are Kodesh LaHashem. When we're in Golis, unfortunately, we don't have that. We don't have that gift. In Golis, we don't have anything to look at. We have to rely upon the goyim when we're doing research on Makom to appreciate that Kishrei Hashem Nikra Olecha. Okay, let's go to another idea, a short idea. The Maros Hatzavos. Rashi elaborates that Moshe Rabbeinu did not originally want to take for the Mikdash the mirrors. The mirrors were donated by the women for the Mishkan. Moshe thought that these mirrors were repulsive because these mirrors were used in Mitzrayim for the purpose of Puriya Urviya. And Rashi elaborates that the women would go out to their husbands in the field who were tired and dirty from slave labor, and they would take the mirror and they would put it in front of themselves and their husband, and they would say to their husbands, I am more beautiful than you. Look how fortunate you are. You shemaz, look what a shidduch you did. Look, you don't deserve to have such a beautiful wife like me. You're an ugly person, you're a dirty person, and look in the mirror, look at your wife, look how beautiful she is. This is what Rashi says. And this caused the husband to be nisoyer to have taiva, and they had marital relations and had children. And it was through these mirrors which Klal Yisrael increased the tzivaos, the host, the numbers, the population, Klal Yisrael grew through these mirrors. Moshe originally felt that these mirrors were detestable because they were used for the purpose of taiva. Hashem says, maybe by you, I'm not so firm as you, Moshe Rabbeinu, by me, these mirrors remind me of the ribui in the alachsa, in the population of the Jewish people, and therefore, adrab, I want these mirrors to be part of the Mishkan, I want it to be used in the Mishkan, where I want it to be used for the Kiyar. Now, why dafka the Kiyar? So I want to say a simple drush. So today, in this generation, like never before, we have, it's a new word into the dictionary, a selfie. Ever go on the street in Manhattan, everyone makes a selfie, you hold a cell phone like this, press the button, you take a picture, and now it's even an industry, it's a $1 million industry to sell poles, to sell tools in order to make a selfie. People have died doing crazy things, taking selfies. It's a new concept. To take a picture of yourself against the backdrop of an environment, either a person, the president of the United States, or with your friend, or with whatever it is, or look, here I am, Times Square. I want to prove to the world that I am taking a picture of myself against the backdrop of Times Square. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these mirrors were really used as selfies. That's how these women use these mirrors. They took the mirror, Rashi says, they took the mirror, they put the mirror in front of themselves and their husband. Their husband should see them together with their wife. And the wife would say, you don't deserve to have such a beautiful wife. You're an ugly person. I'm beautiful. And yet, look at the gift, look what you have. This aroused them, and this brought forth children, Klal Yisrael. Hashem was way ahead of his time, Hashem. Hashem says, this concept of selfie is gewaldic. I want you to use this concept of selfie in the Mishkan. What do we mean? When a person comes into the Mishkan to do Avodah, the first thing you have to know do is take a selfie. That's really what's happening. When you wash your hands, you're washing your hands against the backdrop of a mirror. That's what the Maris HaTzoivos. When they look in the mirror, what do they see? They see the Kohen sees himself, and he sees it's panoramic because it's round, right? Photographer, you see what?
This next week's article.
It's panoramic. You see it's round. You see the entire Mishkan. A round mirror. Can you ever see the cars or in the elevators? They have these round mirrors. You're able to see everything. It's like a selfie. You're seeing yourself against the backdrop of the entire Mishkan.
All around.
That makes an impression.
Makes you look fat too.
Who am I? What? What do you say?
Makes you look fat too.
Who am I to deserve? Who am I to deserve to be standing here in front, in the Mishkan, in the Mokav of the Hashuas HaShchina, to bring a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem says, Adraba v'Adraba. That's exactly what I want you to be aware of. You're coming to do Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first thing is appreciate where you are. Appreciate the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. Take a selfie, just like the Noshim, they took a selfie with their husband to tell their husband, appreciate, look at the backdrop, here, look at yourself, but look at yourself together with me. Hashem gave you a wife who's more beautiful than yourself, which whatever that, Avi has a lot of depth, whatever that means, it means, that's what Rashi says. Hashem's, I like that concept. That concept, it's not just the mirrors are beautiful because the mirrors, it was through the mirrors that Klal Yisrael increased in number. It's more than that. It's the concept is something which is very appealing, that a person should appreciate the bracha that he has and should make use of the bracha to be marba in this world. When you come into the Mishkan, take that concept. The very first thing a person does in the Mishkan is appreciate what Hashem gave you. He gave you this Mishkan. He gave and he put you here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and use that as an inspiration to increase. To increase what? To increase Marbe Kvoit Shemayim. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have here in the parish, it's a short idea, this is not my idea, it's a very powerful idea. When Moshe Rabbeinu, he finished the Mishkan, then we'll talk about it very quickly, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he finished the Mishkan, there are two psukim. And the parashas Pikudei, Vatechel, kol avoidas mishkan el moed. Vayasu v'nei Yisrael kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. The very end of the parasha, going back, the end passing mem gimel, vayar Moshe es kol amalach of yinei osu osa kasher tziva kein osu. Here it says, I'm reading the wrong pasuk. Vayichal, it says, I'm sorry, the pasuk is Vayichal Moshe. On the second, Vayichas. One pasuk says Vayar Moshe. No, it's not the pasuk. Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis says, "Bevoyim." Look at Pasuk Vayichal. Vayichal Moshe is kol hamalacha. First, it says here Vateichel. Okay, Vateichel kol avodas mishkan Hashem, Vayasuk mishkan Hashem, and then they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says somewhere Moshe finished all of the melacha. Okay, so we'll have to do some homework. We'll have to find the pasuk, but there are two psukim describing the same thing. The question is, why in one pasuk does it say Vayichal Moshe? Moshe concluded. I know the pasuk is here somewhere. I remember this morning I looked at the pasuk. Vayichal Moshe is kol hamelacha. All right, let's just. Why is there a difference between Vateichel and Vayichal?
There is a pasuk Gimel in the
Perek Mem. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayokem es achotze v'sav l'meshkod v'mzach v'itin v'sav l'meshkod v'sav. Oh, that's the pasuk. Fine. Vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. So the question is, why when it says for Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael built the Mishkan, they put the Mishkan together, it says Vateichel kol avodas ha-mishkan oil moed. And at the end, when Moshe Rabbeinu erected, assembled the Mishkan, it says Vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. It's a very similar word. It's not my word. It's a very powerful word. That is, the word Vayichal as a connotation is, I'm finished. But there's more to do. There's more to do. Vateichal means, it's done. There's nothing more to do. The Klal Yisrael, when the Tzibur works on a project, it's possible to reach a madrega vateichel kol avodas hamishkan. There's nothing more to do. Because a tzibur in their entirety has the tools, has the ability to do something to its completion. A human being, even a human being as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no one as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, you're never finished. Lo yolecha hamalacha ligmar, it's not upon you to finish the malacha, and it's not upon you to be mevatel from lachos of Mishnah Perkei Avos. A person has to work his entire life, but you have to recognize you'll never ever finish the job. Although you'll never finish the job, you're not exempt from working on the job. Even a person that's as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, when he finished, it's Vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. It doesn't say Vateichal. Okay, if you want to see the difference, the new ones, look at the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, when it says Vateichal, there it's Shalim. And when it says Vayichal, not in the Unkelus, but in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, it says Sheitze. Sheitze means to be cut off. To be cut off. When Moshe Rabbeinu finished his work, Moshe was cut off from the work, but there's still more work to be done. Klal Yisrael, when they finish the job, it's shalim. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Okay, let's discuss quickly Parash HaChodesh, Parash Purva, let's discuss Chazak. This week we have Chazak. Parash ends with a very big nechama for Klal Yisrael. Ki Anan, the last pasuk of Hushim Shmai says, Ki Anan, Hashem ala mishkan yimam, ve'esh ti'alayla bo le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'asehem. There is something interesting about the pasuk that when it comes to the Anan, it's in the present tense. Ki Anan Hashem al HaMishkan Yaimam. The Amud HaAnan is presently upon the Mishkan. When it comes to the fire, the Eish, the Amud HaEish, which was also there every single night, it's written B'loshen Osit. Tihiyeh Laila Bo. So why? Why does it say the Anan wasn't present? Then the Anan went away. It had to come back in the morning. So it should say the Anan would be there in the morning and the Eish would be there at night. Why is the Anan in the present tense and why is Eish in the future tense? So the answer is this pasuk, which concludes Chumash Shemais, and which we conclude with Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazek, is also a reference to the future Golus of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Chumash Shemos is the story of Golus. I mean, that's how it all starts. Chumash Vayikra Vibracious is the parish of the Chumash of the Avos, and Shemos begins with Yitzias Mitzrayim, with Yuidas Mitzrayim, Golus, the Golus, the story, the template for Golus. Just as there were 48 Masos in the Midbar, Chazal say, Mais Avos Simul Abonim, in the history of Klal Yisrael, through Golus, we travel from country to country, from situation to situation, until we come to the times of Mashiach. In the times of day is symbolic of the good times. Bisman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYekayim, Bisman SheYisrael Shiruyin Al Admosan. The Shekhinah is present in Eretz Yisrael. This is the Anan Hashem al Hamishkan Yoimam. The cloud of Shekhinah, it's tangible. You can touch it. You can sense it. The Shekhinah is there. It's protecting us. But the Pasuk tells us it's not always going to be so good. It's not always going to be like in the Midbar 40 years, like in Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be Golus. And in Golus, Hashem says, you're also going to need my protection. And the protection will come in the form of Eish. What is Eish? Eish is a code word for the Torah HaKadosha. Eish Das Lamai. Hashem gave us an Eish Das, a fiery law. So Hashem over here is giving us Nechama. Just like, don't make a mistake to think for one moment that living in the 21st century, in the year 2017, Hey Alof and Tavshin Ayin Zayin, is any different than it was at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There is absolutely no difference in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, Hanhaga, for the Klal Yisrael, for the world. There is no difference. I'm letting you know they're the same. Ki Anan, just like now, Anan, Hashem al HaMishkan Yoimam, in the days of good, in the days of Yoim, when everything, when there's a Gilui Shechina, and there's the Anani HaKavod, and you can touch it, you can sense it, you can see the Gilui Shechina, you should know that in all future generations, you have the same Shechina with you. It's just different. The Shechina is found in attaching yourself to the Ve'esh. Ve'esh, the Esh of Torah, Esh Das Lamo, Tihiyeh, will be Laila, will be with Bo, will be with you during the times of Golos. Le'enik Kol Beis Yisrael. No one is outside of Hashem's Hashkacha, Hashem's protection. Bechol Maaseihem, in all of your travels and all of your journeys through the days of Golos, I'm with you. Imai Anoichi Bitsara, I'm there for you. I'm there to protect you. Just connect yourself to the Amud Ha'esh, the Eish Das Lamai. And this is for us the ultimate Chazak, Chazak, V'Nis Chazek, the ultimate form of Chizik that we can take with us into the new year. Just to conclude with one word from Chodesh, Parash HaChodesh, this Shabbos we should appreciate is the last Shabbos of the year. Acharoin, Acharoin Chodesh. It's the last part, the last week of the last Shabbos, we're winding down, and in the Haftarah of... And this one thing that really sticks out in the Haftarah of Shabbos HaChodesh, it's a very interesting Haftarah in Yecheskel, we didn't get to it yet, is it's all about the Melech. The Melech has a special set of Korbanos. For Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Nedavos, all about the Melech, the types of Korbanos he's going to bring in the times of Mashiach. And it mentions there one important point, that when the people, when the common man comes into the Beis HaMikdash, just remember, the entrance you come in is not the same entrance you leave. If you come in on the north, you leave on the south. You come in on the south, you leave on the north. The Melech is different. The Melech can come and go from this east back and forth. But when you come, it's different. The Musa Haskell is, a whole year has passed. We just as in location, there is an entrance. The entrance you come in is not the entrance you leave. In time also, there's an entry point of time and there's an exit point in time. A whole year has passed. We're not the same people we were last year. A year ago, we entered into a new year. HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim. We're now leaving. We're now leaving this year. It's a time which you can't go back in time. You can't go back in time. A lot of things have happened in this last year, whether we realize it or not. We've grown from these experiences. We've been challenged from these experiences. It's not the same. The lesson to learn from the Haftarah is, it's not all the same. We're coming to a transition point. Don't think it's the same. The makom where you've come is not the makom where you're getting out. And realize that when you start a new year, the makom that you enter is also not going to be the makom where you come out a year from now, habaleinu l'toiva, and you should prepare yourself, you should work on yourself to achieve, to accomplish that the experience of the year should be a year of bracha, hatzlacha, v'chol, milei, demetav. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'mischazek. Thank you.